come see his glory. Come with an honest heart to see all he is. We will discover all of his beauty. His light will burn away all the darkness we know. Come and behold him. Come and behold. To see all he is. Come and behold him. Wait now before him. Come with an honest heart to see all he is. Come and behold him. Come see his mercy. Come find his tenderness reaching to you. Just as a mirror shows a reflection, his word and spirit come, now reflecting his love. So come and behold him. Come and behold him. Come and behold. To see all he is. Come and behold him. Wait now before him. Come with an honest heart to see all he is. Come with an honest heart to see all he
seated.
One of the things that I've learned with a computer is that you can make type larger or smaller. And last night as I was working on the computer, I was thinking, I'm going to make this talk have big, bold type so I won't have to put these on. Didn't work. So now I can read this, and you get to see me in my reading glasses, the pair that I like the least, by the way. I couldn't find the other pair. I've always been amazed how God moves his people to and from the places where he needs them. Sometimes he needs them to be in one location and then a different one. Sometimes he needs them to be in the same location, but in a different way. And I've ceased trying to understand his specific actions and instead have begun trying to accept what he does with different individuals and different families. About 2 years ago, when Danny Mize decided to go into full-time ministry with the Kids Place, we were perplexed about how we could replace a so talented and organized man. Then John Pickens decided to leave the world of business and pick up Danny's role in this congregation of the Lord's people. I think all of us were pleasantly surprised to find that the Lord had given us a man as talented, if not more so, than Danny. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about if you've sat in one of John's Bible classes or called him about something in the building that was not working. If you haven't, then trust me when I say that John Pickens is a very talented, spiritual man. Now John has indicated to us that he believes it's time for him to return to the business world. Again, I'm perplexed. But since I know that John and Lisa have spent a lot of time in prayer about this decision, I'm sure the Lord will bless both the congregation and John in their new direction. Since the new position is in Oklahoma City, John and Lisa have said they'll continue to worship and serve the Lord here at Quail Springs. This time I'd like for John and Lisa to stand and accept our gratitude for what they've done for us these past 2 years. John, Lisa. While we were waiting for the worship service to begin, I asked Wes McKenzie, who is a PR graduate from OC, how do I leave since I'm going to go give blood? Do I say I'm going to go give blood, or do I just walk out? And seeing if John was going to be here, he said, by the way, I'm going to be leaving after the introduction to go give blood. So after the prayer, John and I are going to leave to go give blood. We're not mad, you know, we're just going to give blood. So that's where we are. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we come before you today perplexed with how you move your people in and about. And we know that in the game that is being played between you and Satan, we are but pawns. But we also know that you know what you're doing, and it may be several plays from now before we really realize what you had in mind for us at Quail and for John and Lisa. But we're confident that you are sovereign and that you know what you're doing, and you're doing it for the good of all concerned. We're excited about the fact that John and Lisa have a new direction to go, and there may be people out there that they will be able to communicate the good news to. At the same time, we're sorry, but we know that you'll bring someone to us who will meet our needs too. Pray that you be with all of us as we seek to serve you and save souls from Satan. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dick. Well, John came in earlier this week and told me that his decision was to leave and to go in the insurance business, where he's going to be working in administrative capacity with his brother-in-law. I have no doubt that he's going to succeed, but boy, oh boy, I felt like somebody hit me in the stomach. And when I made that announcement in the early service, I could tell by looking at people's faces, they felt like they'd just been hit in the stomach as well. But I know that God has plans for us and for John, and we wish them Godspeed and are grateful they're going to continue to work and serve here in this place. I hope that you're able to pick up an announcement sheet as you came in today. It's got a lot of great, important information on it concerning the family at Quail Springs. Most of the announcements you're going to find on the right column. But right in the middle, you're going to find a number of people that we want to remember in prayer. Many of these have been on our list for a long time and will continue to be. And others are very new, and we want to lift them up in prayer today and express our love and our appreciation of them, lift them before the Father. Got a little bit of good news to share with the family as well. As we lift people up in prayer, we want to give God thanks. Providentially, He has brought two people together. They have been engaged to be married, and I want you to know about that. Chris Martinez asked Beth Cook to marry him, and she said yes. And I think that's a great thing. Chris, where are you and Beth? Would you stand? I know you're right back there in that section. Congratulations, Chris. And of course, we have a number of folks we want to remember in prayer. Our sympathy to Melanie Richardson and the loss of her infant niece. Her niece in Houston, Texas has been struggling for life for several weeks now, and passed away this past week, and you can imagine what that would be like. And so we want to remember that family in prayer in a very special way. At the same time, we are rejoicing with Getsy and Melanie Lee in the birth of Talon, and with Larry and Andrea Norris in the birth of Aaron, as two new babies were born this week to Quail Springs members. So let's go to the Father and give thanks and offer prayer for all of these who are in need. And I'd like for us to bow for a time of silent prayer so that each of us can pray to the Father. And then we will, I'll close our prayer time together. I might also mention as we're praying that today is the last Sunday that Turk Wilder and Susan Allen will be with us. Turk is going to move to Nashville and pursue a career in music. And Turk and Susan have endeared themselves to this family just unbelievably so. And today is the last Sunday they're going to be with us. And we're going to desperately miss them. And all the life that they bring to this church family. And I think we want to remember them in prayer as well as they make that transition to Nashville, Tennessee. So let's bow together for a time of prayer, shall we? Oh God, our Father, we indeed give you thanks and praise that your presence is among us today. And you're a God of great power, and who by the power of your Spirit can change lives. And that you are Jehovah Rophi, the Lord our healer. And that through you all healing comes, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And Father, we have a number of people we lift to you today that you might be at work for healing in their lives. Father, we pray for the comfort of Melanie Richardson's family in the loss of her niece. And as we can only imagine what that family must be going through, we believe that you have the power to meet their needs. And we pray that your comfort and strength and power will be at work in their lives. Father, we rejoice with the Lees and with the Norrises in the birth of their new baby daughters. And we pray that you'll bless them with good health and growth. And you'll bless these parents as they rear their children in the way that would bring you honor and glory. And Father, we thank you for Turk and for Susan, for all that they've meant to our church family. And we pray as they transition into a new place that you'll lead them to just the right people that will not only support and encourage them, but that they can support and encourage as well. And we pray that you'll continue to let your light shine through their lives and use them mightily in Nashville. Father, thank you for your presence among us and for your love for us that never leaves us. May we be comforted in that today. And may we glorify your name. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning, we'd like to begin this part of our assembly time, at least, by having a chance to greet and encourage each other. It's a good chance to give somebody a hug or a handshake, express your love to them. Let's stand together and greet one another, shall we?
Please be seated. Please be seated. Rodney. On your Sunday sheet this morning. Yeah, please be seated. On your Sunday sheet this morning, you see on the left column on the front side there, Quail Springs 201. And this week, Ronnie's going to begin a series and explain to you a little bit more, those of you who may not know about the 201, 101, and maturity. And as I was contemplating songs that would fit this theme, I came across an old song that we sang growing up that's in the songbook that we'll sing. And for some reason, the title of this song in the first line always doesn't quite set right with me. But I think there's good in it, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's almost like I can do this now, and I can then choose to not do it over here, and I have to take time, whereas we are, as a people, are set apart. Our lives, our whole person is set apart for Christ, for God, and that we are holy. We are called to be holy. And the title for this song has always kind of made me think, well, okay, I can take time over here to be holy, but that means over here I don't have to do that. And that's not what this means, but it's kind of always what I think when I've thought of this song. So I think of it in the good way and not the compartmentalized way. This has got some great lyrics in it that fit right in with maturity and the purposes of the church and of individual Christians as they mature. And what I'd like for you to do this morning as we sit together and sing through this song is to encourage one another with the words of this song. The worship team's going to sing on all of it, but I would like for this half of the congregation to sing the first phrase of each verse, and this half sing the second phrase, and then you sing the third phrase, you sing the fourth, and then the fifth and the sixth, and then on the last two lines we'll all sing together on each of the three verses, okay? And I'll direct you in that, so you don't worry if you sing the wrong place, it's okay. But what I also want you to do is to make some eye contact with someone on the opposite side of the congregation than you are and sing these words to somebody, not just to the screen, okay? Let's encourage one another with the words of this song as we sing together.
Take time to be holy. oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to see. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive, be his control. Thus led by the Spirit to fountains of love, I soon shall be fitted for service above.
That's right. Let's stand up, because part of the service above that we sing of there, as we enter into the Holy of Holies, into the heavenlies with God in the eternal realm, is that we will worship him day and night and never cease to enjoy the praise.
I will magnify your name, O Lord. I will exalt you. King of kings and Lord of lords, and you reign in majesty, omnipotent Father, creator of all things.
I will magnify your name. And I will exalt you forevermore. For you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and you reign in majesty, omnipotent Father, creator of all things.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the height. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars along. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, for he is glorious. Never shall his promise fail. God is victorious. Sin and death shall not prevail. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Amen, amen. Praise the God of our salvation. Host on high his power proclaim. Heaven and earth. things of creation. Lord, magnify His name.
Magnify His name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They Him their King in strength divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail the Lamb, and bow before the great I Am, and bow before the great I Am. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp Your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of Your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of You. I stand in awe of You. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of You.
You are beautiful beyond description, yet God crushed You for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp such tender compassion? Who can fathom such mercy so free? You are beautiful beyond description, Lamb of God, who died for me.
And I stand in awe of You. I stand in awe of You. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of You.
please pray with me? Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for a friend like Jesus. Thank you for being our friend. Father, we come now. We've been standing in awe of you, and now, Father, we are humbled before the cross. As we see our personal Savior dying on a rugged cross for us individually, remind us, Father, that he was a real man. The blood that came out of his hands and his feet was real blood. The blood that came from his back from the whipping was real blood. The splinters that pierced his body caused real pain. And the nails in his hands and feet caused real pain. And as he sweated on that hot Palestine hill during the middle of the day, he struggled physically. He struggled to breathe. He struggled to talk. His throat was dry. And Father, he felt the physical things we would feel. We struggle with that sometimes, but Father, as we take this bread, we're reminded that was a physical body that was given for us. Thank you for a great sacrifice. Father, it's difficult to understand that you allowed Jesus to feel those things for us, that you did not withhold from him the physical torture. But that makes the sacrifice all the greater. Help us, Father, as we commune together and with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please pray with me again. Our God, while Jesus was a man on the cross, indeed he was God on the cross. How can we understand that God himself, requiring a sacrifice for our sins, would himself make himself his own sacrifice? You did not owe that to us, and we certainly didn't earn it. But Father, that again makes the sacrifice even more incredible, for just like Abraham, when Isaac asked him, "Where will the sacrifice come from?" Abraham said, "God will provide." And indeed, that is exactly what you did for us. You provided an incredible sacrifice, Father, and indeed it shows your wisdom again, because you provided God as a sacrifice, which is beyond anything that we could ever even attempt to earn. You provide a sacrifice so incredible that it's beyond our comprehension, which is exactly what we would expect God to do. Father, you have been so good to us. And as we bow before the cross again, we are amazed again that you have provided everything that we could need and provided in a way that was a mystery because, of course, none of us could have come up with that kind of way. And, of course, there was no better way for you to show us how much you really did love us because you gave us the very best that you had to provide a complete and full sacrifice. Father, as we take this cup, remind us again, Father, that you gave your very best for us because you loved us that much. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we don't have much to bring, but we bring you what we have. Father, our material blessings, of course, have all come from you. We claim nothing because none of it belongs to us. Please don't let our hearts be attached to these things, Father. Thank you again for in your wisdom asking us to set aside from the blessings you've given us, to return those things back to you. But Father, please don't let us give from obligation. Please don't let us give from some sense of trying to earn what you have done for us. Father, help us not just to give you our material things, but to give you our heart. For Father, if we can give you our heart, you have everything that we have. Father, bless those that are going to take care of these funds that we're giving to you. A special measure of your blessing and your wisdom on them, please. And bless these funds and multiply them, that your will and your grace and knowledge of you may be spread abroad. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity and the privilege of giving to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't you come and fill me? Earthly things have left me dry. Only you can satisfy. All I want is more of you.
Somebody walked in the first service and saw that this morning. They said, I think somebody's playing a joke on you. Isn't that a beauty? I dug that up last night at 9 o'clock. Actually, Marcia dug that up last night at 9 o'clock next to our house. I need to tell you that at the first part of the spring, this plant really did look beautiful. It was green and healthy, and the leaves were strong. This stalk-looking thing that comes out of it had a big white blossom on it that was just beautiful. But over the course of the summer, it's not looking too good. In fact, its chances of survival are pretty slim at this point in time. It's not that I don't like plants. I love plants. My problem is I'm just a little bit forgetful. And this thing is around on the side of the house, and somehow I omit giving it the water that it needs to survive. Now, I think I've got a plan for resurrecting this plant. I've got some sticks at home, and I'm going to try to prop up some of these leaves, and I've got a spray can of green paint. And I'm going to kind of work it over, and it's going to look great by this time tomorrow. You say, what watermelon truck did you fall off of? No, you see, for a plant to live, that's an inside job. And the nourishment has got to come the inside. And no support like a stick or spray paint is going to make this plant a healthy plant. I know that the illustration is silly, but can I get real serious for a minute? That's the way a lot of us look spiritually, right there. That is exactly the way a lot of us look spiritually. We all go through periods of dryness. But some of us live in a constant state of dryness. Because you will not give that spiritual part of you the nourishment you need in order to grow. And as you neglect that part of your life, your spirit begins to wither and die and look just like that. Some people have the mistaken idea that spiritual growth is going to just happen. It's going to just kind of come to pass, you know, sort of accidentally. When my kids were small and something got broken, they always would say, "Dad, it was an accident. It was an accident." Now, what they meant by that was not, "I accidentally broke that." What they meant was, it was their way of saying, "Dad, I don't know who broke that. I didn't break it, don't know who did, but some mysterious, unexplained force acted on that lamp and it broke. It was an accident." And you know what, folks? That's the way many of us think spiritual growth is going to happen. Just some mysterious, unexplainable force is just going to work, and I'm going to grow up to be like Him. And I hope that you know that in order to grow, there must be an intentional plan that uses the tools God has given us in order for growth to take place. Now, I had the privilege this week of doing what I get to do regularly during the year. I got to see two brand new babies. In fact, I saw Gitsy and Melanie walk in earlier. Gitsy and Melanie, where did you locate? There they are at the back. They have a brand new baby daughter, Talon. Melanie, in fact, has got Talon on her shoulder back there. And I got to see Larry and Andrea Norris's new baby daughter, Erin, this week. Now, those parents have an intentional plan for helping those children grow up healthily. They're going to try to keep them dry and warm and safe. And about every 2.5 or 3 hours, with their tiny little vocal cords, they're going to cry out in their own way, "Mommy, Daddy, it's time to eat." And it's going to go on throughout the night. And until they get what they want to eat, they're going to cry out. Now, the problem is this plant didn't have vocal cords. If it would have just cried out every once in a while, "Ronnie, how about some water?" I'd have taken care of it, but I just forgot. And folks, in order for us to grow up in Christ, we have got to have an intentional plan to nourish that spiritual part of us so that we can grow up. Now, hasn't God gone on record that He wants every one of us to grow up to be like Him? Hasn't He gone on record in saying that? I want to just kind of run through a few spiritual passages that exhort us to do that. Ephesians 4:15. "Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head," that is Christ. "From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Colossians 1:10. First Peter 2:2, "Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Second Thessalonians 1:3, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, because your faith is growing more and more." Hebrews 6, "Let us leave the elemental teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." Now, here's the good news. You don't always have to look tomorrow like you look today. You don't have to look tomorrow like you look today. In fact, if God has His way with you, you will not look tomorrow like you look today. You'll look more like Him tomorrow. But in order for that to happen, habits have to change, and priorities have to change, and practices have to change. And then God will work His work in us. A good friend of mine, who was in fact the former youth minister here, Toby Slough, was telling me a story the other day. He said, on January the 1st, 1997, I made a resolution to lose 10 pounds in 1997. He said, I made as strong a resolution to lose that 10 pounds as any I've ever made. Anybody ever made a resolution like that? He said, at the end of 1997, when I weighed in, I had gained 7 pounds. He said, so as far as I've got it figured, I'm 17 pounds from where I need to be. 17. Because I resolved to lose 10 and I gained 7. Toby was bemoaning the fact that in order to lose 10 pounds, he had to change some habits in his life. The way he eats and exercises. He does a lot of the former and none of the latter. And he was saying, in order for that to happen, in order for me to lose weight, I'm going to have to change some habits. I'm going to have to change what I eat, and I'm going to have to exercise. And can I tell you, we work that way spiritually. In order for us to have the growth that God wants us to be about, there are going to have to be some changes made in our lives. There are going to have to be some practices put into place that God has instituted that God can use to help grow us up into Christ. Now, what is our plan for helping you do that at Quail Springs? Shane, if I could have the slide. The first of the year, we shared with you all, and in fact, last fall, we shared with you all a plan for helping grow up disciples in Christ Jesus here at Quail Springs. I stumbled on a book a couple of years ago called The Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren, and we took from that many of the principles that we think can work among us and put it on a baseball diamond, much like he had done, so that we can remember. It's easy to remember when you place it in a visual place like a baseball diamond. And here's the way it works. There are five purposes revealed in the New Testament as to why we exist as a church. Five purposes. And all five of those purposes are included on that slide that you see right there. The first one is membership. God wants us to be members of His family. He sent His Son to die on a cross and to take our sin away so that we might have fellowship with Him and be a member of His family. If you were to come in here today not knowing much of anything about God except that you know you need God in your life, that is where you would begin. We would help you become a member of the body of Christ by sharing with you the gospel of Jesus. Now, I've got to confess to you that that's where most churches stop their emphasis, and that's where we stopped for a long time. The emphasis was, let's convert them, let's get them in the water, and then afterwards, no real plan for helping them grow up in Christ. Hopefully, they'll attend enough services and hear sermons and go to class, and they'll learn some things, but no real plan for maturing people in Christ. But folks, excuse me. We have got to understand that there has to be an intentional plan to follow if we're going to grow up. And that's what second base is, maturity. As God has gone on record to say He wants us to grow up, maturity is where I begin the process of putting those practices into place that will help me grow up. And I'm going to talk about those in just a minute. I'm not going to talk about them now, but that's second base. Third base is ministry. It is obvious from reading the New Testament that God, by His Spirit, has gifted every one of us to do something in the family of God. He has gifted us by His Spirit to do something. Third base is where I begin to understand and study and find out what my gifts are that the Spirit has given me and how I might employ them in this body to build up the body of Christ. Home plate is missions. Every one of us as Christians are on a mission. Every one of us. What is the mission? What is it? It's to seek and save the lost. Every one of us is on a mission. Home plate is where I begin to understand what my part in that and how I might be a link in the chain to share my faith with someone else. Sometimes that means a neighbor next door, a working colleague. Sometimes that means across the sea. Many of our members have gone on campaigns and have gone all places around the world to share their faith in Christ Jesus. And missions is where I'm equipped to do that. And right in the middle of all of it is magnification. Boy, if you haven't heard this before, you haven't been here much. But our God is worthy of our praise. Amen. He is worthy of all exaltation and all glory. And in the midst of everything we do, we need to be about the business of glorifying His name. Both publicly and privately, He is worthy of our praise. And so all we do has got to be focused on and centered in the magnification of who He is. Now for the next 5 weeks, today plus the next 5 weeks, we're going to focus our attention on second base, maturity. I'm going to give you an overview of what we're going to talk about the next 5 weeks, and then for the next 5 weeks we're going to talk about it. God has given us three healthy habits that every healthy disciple will have in his life. You put these in place in your life and allow God to use them, He'll grow you up. Let me give you the three. I'm just naming them right quick, and then we'll go back and talk about them a minute. First healthy habit in a healthy disciple's life, growing healthy disciple's life, is the habit of fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. Second habit, fellowship with Him. Fellowship with Him. And the third healthy habit is the fellowship of giving. Now let me go back and talk about those. The fellowship with one another. Maybe you heard about the little girl. It was kind of concerned about the worm being lonely, and so she cut it in two and said, "Now you have a friend." That is the way God wants us to understand. We need friends. And fellowship in the family of God is something that you read about from the early pages of the history of the church. It says in Acts 2:42, the day the church was born, it says that 3,000 that day were added to the number, and it says in verse 42 that those people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to what? Fellowship. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Fellowship. It is something that takes place where a deep bond takes place and community is experienced with one another, and we begin to love each other. And can I tell you something? That isn't going to happen in an assembly like this. It's not going to happen in an assembly like this. What happens in an assembly like this is focused on praise and adoration and listening and teaching, but it doesn't focus on fellowship. Fellowship is what takes place in living rooms and across coffee tables in restaurants. Fellowship is what takes place in what we call connection groups, small group of 8 to 12 people, where you can begin to learn to love each other in the community of fellowship of the body of Christ. It's in those small groups that meet all over our city that people eat with each other and laugh with each other and cry with each other and pray for each other and study the Word with each other and serve with each other and become family to each other. Fellowship. Folks, the community of fellowship in the body of Christ is a necessity for us to grow up in Jesus. And that's why we would encourage everybody that comes to be a part of the Quail Springs family that you be a part of a connection group. Because some stuff happens in there in those small groups that can never happen in an assembly like this. Second habit, fellowship with Him. Fellowship with God. Now, there are three or four aspects of that that we're going to talk about the next two or three weeks after next week. Next week, we're going to talk about community. The next two or three weeks after that, we're going to talk about fellowship with Him. In the first place, God has earned the right to speak to us. And study of His Word is absolute necessity in understanding our communication with Him. He has revealed His will for us. And therefore, for us to study what that will is of absolutely important nature for us. Prayer. We talk about prayer. We have classes about prayer. We encourage people to pray. But I wonder how many of us in the daily experience of our life are neglecting that vital link with God through prayer. Many of us don't even know how to pray. And so for a couple of weeks, we're going to take some time and learn how to pray according to Jesus' outline that He gave in the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that's an aspect of that fellowship with Him that I'm learning more and more about, been reading some books and talking to some people about it, is fasting. Boy, you mentioned fasting this day and time, people roll their eyes. I don't think so. No, I'm out on that fasting part. But the more I study and the more I talk to people who fast, the more I find that God can do things in us in fasting that He can do in no other place. Do you remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and a man had a son there that was possessed of a demon? He'd asked the other disciples to cast the demon out and they couldn't. And they were perplexed. Why couldn't this happen? And they asked the Lord, why couldn't we cast it out? And He said, this kind only comes out by what? You remember? Prayer and fasting. And so we're going to talk about that as we have time. Third healthy habit. Giving. The fellowship of giving. You say, now I can understand the first two, but I don't get the link with giving. Why giving? Because giving is God's way of teaching us how to trust Him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, we are to honor the Lord with our wealth, the first fruits of everything we have. Then, He says, our barns will be filled to overflowing and our vats will brim over with new wine. It's when that plate comes down the row every single week that I have a chance to do two things. Number one, I reaffirm what my priority is in life. When that plate comes down the aisle, I have a chance to say, God, this is proof You are the God in my life. I give You the first fruits of everything that I have. And the second thing it does, it helps me remember I am dependent on God for everything. David said in 1 Chronicles 29, everything comes from You. You are the ruler of all things. We give You today only what comes from Your hand, O Lord. And whenever that plate comes down the aisle, I have a chance to remind myself I am dependent on God for everything in life, and I trust Him to take care of my needs. As I learn to give, I learned the joy of what it means to give instead of receive. And I also trust God to meet those needs in my life that only God can meet. And I understand that when I'm giving, I'm never more like God, because our God is a giver. Does God want us to grow up? Yes, He does. He's on record. If I don't give my spiritual part of me the nourishment that it needs, spiritually speaking, this is what I become. But folks, for us to grow up healthily in Christ, it doesn't just happen by accident. It's because you intentionally plan to let God do His work of growth in your life and make you more like Him. You work the plan, God will work in you, and the result will be growing up in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we confess to You that many times in our lives we neglect that part of us that needs such nourishment from You. And inside we really do look dry and withered. And we pray that You'll help us to come to You for the nourishment that You can give. That You'll help us establish the priorities and the practices in our lives that You can use to grow us up to be like You. And Father God, I pray You'll start with me. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the God of grace offers you the greatest gift of all, the gift of His Son, the gift of salvation through His Son. And this God promises that if you will come to Him, He will help you grow up to look like Him. And this morning, if you would respond to His call, His invitation, we'd invite you to come right now while we stand together and while we sing.
Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't You come and fill me? Earthly things have left me dry. Only You can satisfy.
Turk and Susan have come this morning to make statements and ask for our continued prayers. As I saw them come with tears in their eyes, I remembered back in 1975 in Houston, Texas, when on a Sunday night, Marcia and I said goodbye to the Westbury family in Houston, thinking that there would be no way in the world God could ever replace those people in our lives. And obviously there are ways that doesn't happen. God doesn't replace people, but it's amazing how God can move in with others to fill our lives. And now as I look back on that Sunday night in 1975 and all the tears we shed and the pain we felt, I am so grateful that God moved us here. There is no way to tell you how grateful I am that God has moved us here. And so I know at least in part what Turk and Susan are feeling as they leave to go to Nashville. Their hearts are breaking. Because here is the place that they have found fellowship. I want to read Susan's statement first. She said, "Thank you for your abundant friendship and the loving discipleship. We ask you to pray for the Spirit to bring us to your hearts often so that you may continue to intercede in prayer that our path is straight and that wisdom abounds. You are a reflection of how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Thank you, for we have experienced God's four-dimensional love in a three-dimensional world. We will miss this family immensely.